Welcome to Conversations with David Lewis. Today, East Jerusalem, West Jerusalem. My guest, Israeli folk rock musician David Broza, talking about his film and album, East Jerusalem, West Jerusalem. David Broza, you are an internationally famous folk rock musician who spent many years living abroad, but Israeli, and spent many years living in Israel. You have a bit of a quest in life that's different. Tell me about your quest.
That's a good opening line or opening question, because I never realized that I have a quest. My career is spanning now 40 years. And my quest has always been music. But I guess I come from a family that has always been very involved with social issues. And social issues are not so far from political issues. One goes around the other, or one goes with the other. So my involvement on social issues had been on two levels throughout my career, literally from day one, some 40 years ago. One was the needs for Israeli handicapped kids with CP, cerebral palsy, and with other needs. And the other, which is a somewhat of a bigger challenge, is the quest for peace, for trying to find the middle ground where Jews and Arabs, with Israelis and Palestinians, can come together and meet each other eye to eye and create relationships, not in order to force peace upon each other, but rather to respect one another. And once you have that respect, I feel that it's a lot harder to get angry at one another. And once you take away the fear from the one towards the other, the Israelis are fearing the Palestinians. They always say they want to kill us. The Palestinians are convinced that the Israelis want to kill them. So if they're both afraid of the same thing, then there's got to be a way of convincing both that really neither of us want to kill each other. We just want to find a way to live side by side and respect one another. And it comes along with what's called a process, a peace process, or a conflict resolution agenda, or as I call it, reconditioning.
That's a pretty good term, because I'm sure a lot of people in Israel, probably more in America, think you're nuts.
Why would they think I'm nuts? I'm realistic. I'm not nuts. You're nuts if you're about your life disregarding and turning your back on the problems. It's like, sweeping all the dirt under the rug, and one day there's a huge heap and you fall flat on your face. And this is what's going to happen eventually. It's not about my generation or the next generation. It could be three generations from now. But if the problems are not dealt with, you see, my grandparents' generation established the country. That's the generation. My parents' generation fought for the country. My generation fought to maintain and to build a future. My children's generation is to capture all of that, respect the past, and move on to the future. But if you don't give them the tools with which to deal with the dangers that our grandparents, our parents, and my generation have left behind, which is respect thy neighbor, build relationships with the Palestinians, with the Arab neighbors. There's Israelis, Israeli Arabs, which are termed Israeli Palestinians. They live within us. We have to learn to know each other. And there isn't enough, if anything is done, there isn't enough programs, there aren't enough, there isn't enough attention given to this.
And of course, I don't think you're nuts, but I know how difficult it is to do this kind of work. I know how hard it is, how many people on both sides, Palestinians who cooperate and with Israelis and vice versa, the difficulties that come to them. And you've put yourself in a position of trying things that are hard, performing in the West Bank, and now you've done this CD, this record, East Jerusalem, West Jerusalem, and you made a movie about the recording of that album, East Jerusalem, West Jerusalem, which is why you're in Atlanta, because the film's appearing at the Jewish Film Festival.
Yes.
So how hard is it to do this work? What happens?
I don't know it is hard. It's hard to be positive about it all the time. And because I work closely with Palestinians, I find reassurances from my partners, because we both suffer and we're both having a hard time. So when we meet and when we hang out together, and most of the time we hang out, we don't talk about conflict resolution. We don't talk about agendas. We don't talk about programs. We just live our lives side by side. And once in a while, we invite others to join, from Ramallah, from Jenin, from Akka, you know, from the north of Israel, from Jaffa, and then my Israeli friends from Tel Aviv. But it's over the years, and you have to be very slow, selective. And I just want to correct one impression that you have, is that I play in the West Bank. I don't play in the West Bank. I play in East Jerusalem.
You've taught in the...
No, I work in East Jerusalem,
okay,
which is the Palestinian side of Jerusalem. However, when I do go to the West Bank, is when I play for the settlers, the zealots, the right-wingers, and basically settlers who live in settlements in the West Bank. I don't play for the Palestinian population, which I would love to. I'd love to be invited, but it doesn't seem it's the right time at any point in the near future. But I work with Palestinians within the Green Lines and within East Jerusalem. the reason I work with the settlers is because I think that the Israeli society, and especially on the left, have come to quick conclusions that if we boycott the settlements and the settlers, then they're going to have such a hard time living this reality that they're going to abandon the settlements.
That's not exactly working.
No, well, number one, boycotts do not work. You may boycott products. You may boycott this, that, and the other. You may not. You cannot. You must not ever boycott person-to-person, people-to-people relationships, philosophers, poets, dancers, painters, artists at large, meeting with people and inspiring and instilling in other people just an idea that, you know, so that they may correct their ways, or they may be ready for some other way of life. Maybe they'll want to abandon the settlement. Maybe they're having a hard time in the settlements, regardless of what we think of them. But it's too expensive for them, or they're waiting for an opportunity to leave. Who knows? As it is, the entire world, whether it's here in the United States with random shooters who walk in with guns and kill, and whether it's in Israel where you have the zealots of real, I'm talking about the most extreme, who make up less than a 0.5% of the settlers, which is still a few thousand people. And the same thing with the extremists on the Palestinian side, who make up a very small number. But that's what terror is all about, is that all you need is one gun and one hand grenade, or not even that, just to threaten that you're going to be exploding something. And so the communities and the society has to learn how to deal with one another, and that way put the extremists where they should be, you know, at the extreme right, at the extreme left, and let the middle become wider and stronger, which is what's going to make a strong society. By that, by making the middle, is by address the settlers, address the Palestinians. The Palestinians should address the Israelis and find a middle ground. And this takes time. Nothing, I don't think anything that calls for a change of this sort, like putting an end to conflict, can happen as we wish it to happen in our time. I think our time is, you know, we're given, 60, 80 years of a lifetime to actually be active. So within that time, you're going to be dedicating a portion of your life towards the dreams the visions that you have, if you're a visionary. And then whatever you've accomplished, you pass on to the next generation, or somebody in the next generation will pick it up and continue according to their vision. And just like it took an island 300 years to come to terms that the Protestants and the Catholics can actually find a middle ground and live side by side. They still can't stand each other. They still don't agree. But they do agree on one thing. The bloodshed can't go on. Because it gives birth to more bloodshed, to more bloodshed. Yeah. Same thing will happen in the Middle East. It has to happen.
Well, as they say over there, inshallah, God willing.
That's right.
You know, I should do a little confession here, which is this subject matter, listeners, is of great interest to me because of a project that I worked on many years ago called Comedy for Peace, which was also an Israeli-Palestinian uh-huh. cooperative project. Our tagline was, if we can laugh together, we can live together.
I love that.
Which is a very similar thing. And when I saw the subject of this film coming for the Atlanta Jewish Film Festival, I thought, oh, this is going to be great because I knew about David. I'd read about him. And then I saw the poster of the production still for the film. It's a picture of David with the cameraman for the film, who's also a character in the film, who also is my cameraman when I work in Israel, a guy uh-huh. named Issa Frey. He's a beautiful guy. He took my daughter's Palestinian. Oh, that's right, because he has
East
a home
Jerusalem.
In Ramallah. Yeah, yeah.
He's from East Jerusalem.
Right.
It's a different...
Okay. But he's a wonderful guy. And then when I saw, you know, Issa's role in the film and that he shot it, of course, I knew I had to meet David.
Yeah.
So just a little confession here that we have mutual friends, actually turns out both in the U.S. and in Israel. You know, let's talk about the record, which will give us a great excuse to play some music and the documentary, East Jerusalem, West Jerusalem. Uh-huh. This idea had been bubbling for a long time. Tell me about the origin of this idea and what you were trying to do.
So I've been working in a studio in East Jerusalem for the past 17 years.
Is that Sabrine?
Sabrine, right.
Right. I remember Issa telling me about it, but I'd never seen it until I saw the film.
So Issa was a founding member of this group, music group called Sabrine, with another guy whose name is Said Murad. And together they created the first time ever original contemporary Palestinian music. Because until then, the kind of music that people listened to in the Palestinian genres and the Palestinian airwaves was mostly old-time classical songs that are passed from father to son. And there was nothing really new that was singer-songwriter type or storytelling type. And so Said Murad is this incredible creative guy, wrote these great songs, and they formed a band together with Issa. Once they formed the band, they needed a studio because they used to work in a studio that I worked in, and that's where we met first time over 30 years ago in Tel Aviv. And they were recording in Studio A, which is the big studio, and I was recording in a small studio in the same complex. So 30 years later, we meet, and they invite me to their studio. And first of all, the conversation was great. The food was even better. So around food and all that, we started meeting without any agenda, without any plan. It's not, they didn't invite me to come and record. They just wanted to meet me. And I used to come, you know, once a week, every 2 weeks. And we never even played music. We just hung out. And there's always a barbecue when I came. And they always invited more friends because people were curious to meet. And I was trying to convince other Israelis to come with me. It never happened.
Yeah, that's tough.
It's tough. Even when we had huge barbecues. And then I started recording. I thought I'd bring a project over to them. So we wrote music to a film series. Then I wanted to do a Spanish album because I work in Spain as well. I'm fluent in Spanish. So I brought a big Spanish producer over to East Jerusalem and we put together an album. And slowly I started bringing projects that they would have never seen. They would have never been exposed to that kind of work because they work strictly on Palestinian music. And then... you know, I keep on going back and forth and coming from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And then I started thinking that it's time to do an album in English and bring my Israeli musicians, whether they like it or not. I'll give them such an offer they can't refuse. So I put it all together. I got my musicians to commit, but the condition was, I asked them to commit, but then they said their wives wouldn't let them. Because, see, East Jerusalem... For the listeners who are not so aware of what's the big deal, Israel, the capital of Israel is West Jerusalem. Israel called Jerusalem, Jerusalem at large, and annexed in the 70s, annexed the east part of Jerusalem, which is Palestinian.
Mm-hmm.
It's not only predominantly Palestinian, it's Palestinian. that includes the old city of Jerusalem. But let's put the old city aside.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you walk city, down the streets, the shops, the butchers, the
everything,
what the women are wearing, it's very much, you know, a Palestinian area.
So Israelis don't feel comfortable wandering out there. And so there are no Israelis on the streets. So when I'm inviting my Israeli musicians to come from Tel Aviv, from the comfort zone, they immediately feel that they're walking into a war zone.
Right.
And to no man's land or into enemy territory. And I'm thinking, you know, this is all in your head. This is not your enemy.
Well, it's also reinforced by the messages that they have access to.
Listen, we all have access to. Yeah. I get tweets every 2 minutes, and the world seems like it's coming to an end if I listen to the tweets and I read the news. Forget about it. You got to be a little bit, knowledgeable and trust yourself a little. So anyway, or you need a friend who will help you.
Tomorrow, we'll continue my conversation with Israeli folk rock musician David Broza. We'll be talking about his CD and film entitled East Jerusalem, West Jerusalem.